So guys, every year, Time Magazine comes out in either digital or print version, and they give us this list of who they think are the 100 most influential people, check it out here, people of the year 2020 or whatever year it is. And here's just one example, kind of a montage of a bunch of them. But as we scroll through these, you know, they pick out people that have huge influence, they're trendsetters, they set the pace in arts, culture, sports, politics, medicine, international stuff. They say these are the people that are influencing direction in our lives across the whole world. 100 top people. I don't always look at this list. Most of the time, as I go through it, I don't know most of the people. That doesn't mean they're not influential. But as I got thinking about that, the reality is, guys, that most of us are influenced. If we were to name the people that most influence us, we think about our parents. We think about close friends of ours. We think about coaches, teachers, spiritual leaders, people that influence us, the life choices that we make, the direction that we take, the people that are close to us. They are our primary influencers. And so I want you to think, as we enter into a brand new year in just a few days, about being an influencer in 2021, and specifically an influencer in terms of character and spirituality, the faith of other people that you can influence. Now, this may start with your friends, with your family, if you have kids, but it spills out into neighbors and community and even people around the world. How can you, as a follower of Jesus, be a spiritual influencer in 2021? And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to return to the book of Acts today and just dive into this. We're at Acts chapter 5. But as you think about this, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You're going to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." And that promise came true in the early pages of Acts. We're seeing it coming true, but it has come true in our lives as well. And we are called to be his witnesses. We are called to be spiritual influencers. We're called to tell the good news of Jesus to other people whenever we have opportunities. I think, honestly, most believers in Christ want to do that. But oftentimes we stop short of really fulfilling that role of spiritual influencer. We get part of the way there, or we don't know how to start. What stops us? Well, I came up with a list of a few reasons that stops us from sharing the good news or being spiritual influencers. First is apathy. We just don't care all that much about what happens to people, where they are with Jesus Christ. We're apathetic. That's one group of people. Another group, they're unconvinced. We're not certain that it really matters. And we're not convinced that it makes a difference what people really believe. Or we have doubts about what we believe. There's another one is busyness. And this is a big one. We are preoccupied with so many other things, so much other stuff, that we don't really make the time to reach out to others. Sometimes we're selfish. We got our own stuff to worry about. I'm not going to worry about influencing others spiritually. Another one is isolation. Some people don't really have any significant relationships with unchurched folks. They live in such a Christian subculture that they don't rub shoulders much with those outside the faith. Another reason is uncertainty. We're not sure what to do or what to say. This is a very common one. We lack training on the how-to, we think, of sharing our faith with others. We wouldn't know how to really begin a conversation with anybody about spiritual matters. And the last one, and maybe the most common one, is fear. We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of being thought to be lunatics or zealots or whatever. And so we're afraid of what might happen, how people might react, what they might think of us. We're afraid we might offend somebody or hurt a friendship. We don't want to be rude. We want to respect each person's spiritual journey. But sometimes that stops us from reaching out to them because we have these characters in our mind of how people share their faith. We don't want to be rude. Years ago, Jerry Seinfeld, in one of the episodes of Seinfeld, gets a call from a telemarketer. And here's how it goes. The telemarketer says, "Hi, would you be interested in switching over to your in your cell phone service?" And Seinfeld says, "Oh, gee, I can't talk right now. Why don't you give me your home number and I'll call you later?" Sorry, we're not allowed to do that. "Oh," he says, I guess you don't want people calling you at home." "No." Then Seinfeld says, "Well, now you know how I feel." And sometimes we put ourselves in that role. We don't want to be that telemarketer. We don't want to be that person that just bothers people. But here's the thing, guys. It can be a joyful experience. It can be an honest conversation. It can be a beautiful thing to help people, to influence people spiritually, because everybody's looking for meaning and purpose in life. And God's placed us around people to be able to spill over the faith that we have in Jesus with other people. And we do that, we can do that joyfully, positively, kindly, winsomely. But let's go to the book of Acts to see how we do that, okay? So Acts chapter 5 is where we left off. And guys, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit after he died for our sins, rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, sent the Spirit. Holy Spirit came upon the believers. They spill out in the streets of Jerusalem. And we've been watching for several chapters of them sharing the good news of Jesus with a bunch of people. And thousands upon thousands of people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But this gets them in trouble with the authorities who had just a few weeks before, led Jesus to his crucifixion, and they thought that he was dead and buried, and he was, but then he rose from the grave, and now they're witnesses of his resurrection. And they don't like this, and they especially don't like this because they're drawing huge crowds. Thousands upon thousands of people are becoming followers of Jesus. So they put Peter and John in jail. Then they keep talking after they release them, and then they put all 12 of the apostles in jail. And last Sunday, we looked at where we left off, where they're getting released miraculously by an angel of the Lord coming and letting them out of the prison. And they go right back out into the streets of Jerusalem at daybreak and start teaching the people about Jesus. And they are spiritual influencers. Here, if we're going to be spiritual influencers, we have three principles I want us to take in today. The first principle is this: we got to be brave when we face challenges. We got to be brave. We have to have some courage here, guys. We're going to have to take some risks, and it might get a little scary at times. So that's the first principle. And I lived in this, guys. I got to be honest. I lived in a pipe dream that when I first became a serious follower of Jesus, that somehow I was going to figure out a way that I could share my faith and be a spiritual influencer without any risks. That just is a pipe dream. There are risks involved. So we got to be brave. And they were. Look for verse 19, chapter 5 of Acts. "But an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night, brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and tell the people all about this life of Jesus, this life he's given you.' Hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. They taught about Jesus, his sacrificial death on the cross for our sins. They taught about his resurrection forever, defeating sin and death. They talked about his glorious ascension and the sending of his Holy Spirit. And they were unashamed because he was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He came to forgive. He came to love. He came to give hope. He came to give peace. And they're sharing this message about this great life. When the high priest and those who were with them arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full council of the Israelites, and sent orders to the jail to have them brought out." So he goes, "Go get those guys." It's a tough start for the day for the leaders of the nation of Israel. They get the little wheels find out about this first, but then they call in the big wheels, they call in the Sanhedrin, the full council, and they say, "Okay, let's deal with this. Let's deal with these upstarts." And so they say, "Go get them out." And the officers, the soldiers march off, and they go to the jail to get the apostles. Verse 22. "But when the servants got there," okay? They did not find them in the jail. So they returned and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing in front of the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." This is kind of like a Keystone Cops comedy. They're running over here. We don't know what happened. They're looking over here and they're bumping into each other. They're like, what happened during the night? We went there, they're not here, but they were guarding them. What's going on? It's almost a comedy. And the lights are on at the jail, but nobody's home because they're out in the streets of Jerusalem sharing the good news. Verse 24, as the captain of the temple police and the chief priests heard these things, they were baffled about them, wondering what would come of this. It's like, wonder what's happening here. This is like the Twilight Zone moment. It's like, what's weird? This is so weird. And they're getting panicky. And they're going bananas. And then someone comes in and says, hang on to your prayer shawls. And you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. Someone came and reported to them, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple and teaching the people. What? Amazing. The leaders opposed their witness. But these upstarts, these apostles, someone's gotten into them. Holy Spirit. And nothing's slowing them down. And they're right back out there. You see, spiritual influencers have to be brave. They made a huge impact because they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid, and they said, you know what? We're going to just keep doing what Jesus called us to do. And he's going to take care of us. He's got our back. If you're going to have spiritual influence on people, even your own family, neighbors, friends, coworkers, you have to ask God for courage because there are some risks involved. Probably not going to be sent to jail, but there are some risks involved. Possible rejection, other things. We live in a culture that is so consumed with safety and security. A few years ago, the United States Postal Service came out with some stamps, and they came out with these stamps. Here's one. It was a swimming stamp, the cannonball. Somebody doing the cannonball. Here's another one. It's like headstand, balance on headstand. And then the last one is the skateboard and the ride. And guess what? They recalled all three of those stamps. Because they said they depict people doing dangerous things. They don't have a proper headgear. They don't have their knee pads on. They're doing dangerous things. So I don't know how many millions of dollars they spent recalling all those and destroying them. But they did. Because we don't want anybody to possibly do something that would be risky. Now, there's appropriate safety measures. And guys, I'm not talking about the pandemic here. We're doing that. We're taking appropriate measures because it's a global pandemic and it's a deadly virus. But aside from that, there's so many other aspects of our culture that are so obsessed with never taking risks. This wasn't always so, but for a lot of people today, it is. And as followers of Jesus, when that kind of ultra security, popularity, not wanting anybody to think negatively of me takes over, it just destroys our influence. It's brave and courageous souls who influence people. And so go countercultural on this, guys. And I don't mean be a rude or obnoxious. Nobody likes that. But be winsome, be positive, but be bold and be brave, you know? These guys were fugitives. They got out of jail. They were fugitives of justice. And most people, when they escape from jail, normally run away and hide. And they're looking behind them to make sure nobody's following them. They don't. They go out in the public streets and just start talking about Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to take some risks to be a spiritual influencer? You know, it's been my observation. I believe truly most believers in Jesus really want to have influence on people. They want to influence people positively towards Jesus Christ. But I observe that Christians tend, and myself included, we tend to gravitate in one of two directions, two extremes. The one extreme over here is like we're like reluctant avoiders. We're like, oh, I don't really know if I want to get into that kind of conversation about spiritual matters. So we kind of avoid the conversations, and we kind of don't steer it in that direction, don't even mention the things. We kind of go undercover, and we're just like very reluctant avoiders because bad things might happen. The other extreme is kind of what I would call guilty eruptors. It's like people who we avoid as long as we can, but then we hear a message or something, and it's like, I've got to say something. And then we just kind of explode and blurt out like a volcano. And it's oftentimes not particularly well thought through. It's not winsome. It's over the top. It's like lava shooting out and people get burned. And it's just not a good scene. And in between reluctant avoiders and kind of guilty eruptors is this kind of middle ground that I think we want to land in. And that's brave influencers. Winsome, positive, happy, joyful, kind-hearted, but brave influencers. Where we stay focused, where we get creative. And when we wait for God to open up opportunities, just like these apostles had, he says, that's an open door. You got to walk through that. You see that? Somebody's talking about you. You have an opportunity and you listen and then you walk into that. You know, last couple of years, we've seen this incredible emergence of an amazing quarterback in the National Football League. His name is Patrick Mahomes. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. And here's just one photo of this guy. And the thing you learn about Patrick Mahomes is you never count him out because it looks like everybody's coming in on him. They're about to sack him, but he finds a way to escape. And then he sees some open receiver and he has all these crazy ways he throws. He sidearms his passes. He shoots it like a basketball. I mean, he does all sorts of crazy stuff because he stays focused on what he wants to get done. That's complete that pass or make the first down. And then he just figures out a way to do it. And he's not afraid of all these other people coming on him. He's a brave guy in those games. And he waits for the right moment, and then he spots it, and he does it. He also happens to be incredibly talented, but that's another matter. But what I want to say is you too can hang in there and not just fold, not just take a dive when it gets hard. Instead, look, wait, stay focused, and then when that moment arrives, step into that, not as a guilty eruptor, but as a positive, brave influencer. Don't allow setbacks, and don't allow occasional negative responses to cause you to quit. Just keep going strong. Verse 26, so they're out there speaking, and the commander went with the servants and brought them in without force, because they were afraid that people might stone them. Remember, we've been learning, these guys are the apostles. Everybody loves these guys. I mean, they're holding them in high regard. They've been doing miracles, and they have outstanding character, so they don't want to start a riot amongst the people because they're quite highly regarded. And so very politely, he kind of comes and says, fellas, would you mind if we just had a little conversation with some of the leaders here? And amazingly, the apostles say, sure, let's go. And so they head off and they go talk to the leaders. This is the second principle. Be bold, be brave, but be bold when you have opportunities. Verse 27, after they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin. The high priest asked, now you're before the Supreme Court of the land, the Supreme Council, the Chief Justice, the high priest. This is the top character in the entire nation. And these guys are just fishermen and tax collectors, right? But they've been with Jesus, and they have the Holy Spirit. Verse 28, he tries to intimidate them. Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? Notice they won't even say the name of Jesus. Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They will not mention the name of Jesus because they told them not to mention the name. They're not going to mention his name either. What gives? We gave you a court order. Why are you doing this in this name? You guys won't let up. Notice that they never did ask them, and by the way, how did you get out of prison? They never asked them about that great escape. Keep going. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than people. You said we filled Jerusalem with this teaching. You know what we say to that? Mission accomplished. Because that was what we were sent to do. Fill all the city and the world, eventually, with the name of Jesus. We have to obey God. I mean, Jesus, we were with him for 3 years. And guys, we're not saying we're superior to you. We're not. But he was dead for 3 days. And then on the third day, came back to life. And we're witnesses of that. And we're convinced he really is who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the Son of God. And look what he goes on to say. He says, verse 30, the God of our ancestors raised up Jesus. The God you worship, the God we worship, the God that we've been following for centuries, he raised up Jesus. He raised him from the dead, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. We tried to do away with him, but death could not hold him. Verse 31, God exalted this man at his right hand as ruler and savior. Jesus now reigns the right hand of God, and he's savior of the world. And his desire is to give repentance, he says, to Israel. He wants to help you to change your mind about these things. And he wants to give forgiveness of sins. He wants to wipe the slate clean. His mission is all about love and hope for the future, a clean slate, a turnaround, a spiritual turnaround. Guys, verse 32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, I'm hearing this, and I'm like, I'm tempted to say, Peter, chill out, man. This is like you're in hot water with the big dogs. But you know what? He's met Jesus, and he's met resurrected Jesus, and nothing's going to hold him back. He says, we're witnesses of this. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't rude. But he says, we got to obey God. We can't not tell other people about Jesus because that's what we've seen and heard. They were not obnoxious or rude, but pleasantly, persuasively, kindly, but boldly, they told the message. And the takeaway from this simply, guys, is this. Be bold when you have opportunities. When God puts you in that spot, when you can have a spiritual conversation, you don't have to get a dump truck out and back it up, beep, 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 and dump out everything you've ever known about the Bible in like 2 minutes. No, no, no. But are you willing to go there? Are you willing to maybe ask them some questions about what they believe? And then inevitably when they say, well, what do you think? Are you willing to walk into that? Are you willing to say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus? Are you willing to walk there? Because I believe if you pray, God will open up opportunities. What opportunities is God going to give you in 2021 to be a spiritual influencer? Starting with your family, your friends, moving out into your neighbors, your community, your workplace, appropriately doing that, sensitively doing that, but not afraid, brave and bold. Here's some coaching things that we've given to you guys before, just to remind you. We talk about this process we call 3D1. One meaning that at least one person God puts in your life, your one life, that one life that God's kind of placed in your pathway. We ask you to name at least that one person that you have spiritual influence opportunities. And then you just do 3Ds. The first one is to develop a friendship. Just look for ways to develop friendships with people who are far from God. Ask them questions. You don't have to tell what you believe. Ask them what they believe. Just develop a friendship and start having conversations and spend time with non-Christians. Just like Jesus did, friend of sinners. Second, discover stories. Instead of beginning with your story, maybe you find out about their stories. You start asking them about their spiritual pilgrimage or their beliefs. But inevitably, it opens up more opportunities. And that's when you go to the third D, and that's discern next steps. It's like, what's the next step that God wants me to take with this individual, with this friend, with this family member? And that's when that next step, it might be anything from just take them out for coffee, to send an email, to invite them to church, to welcome them into a life group. I don't know what it might be, and it might take 5 minutes, it might take 5 months. But you're not afraid. You're brave and you're bold. So instead of being a reluctant avoider or a guilty eruptor, be a brave and bold spiritual influencer. Say yes to that. By the way, just a reminder, we're starting up Alpha again, which is a fantastic place for you to be a spiritual influencer. Invite somebody who's far from God to join us online with you. January 18th, you go to valley.church/alpha. And then also, we're going to have it in person, Lord willing, come later this spring. So we're excited for that too. Alpha is so fantastic of a way to introduce people, to ask spiritual questions. And everybody's welcome. Doesn't matter how. They're atheists, agnostics, skeptics, doubters, people who have objections to the Christian faith. Invite them. I also want to remind you guys that at year end, we have an opportunity to make spiritual impact, spiritual influence by our generosity. And so, guys, we want to end this year strong, and we've given you some special opportunities, special projects. You've been reviewing and praying about those. Guys, the need is now. We're coming to the end of the year. Help us finish strong, because this is going to make an impact on hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people as you give generously. So help us end that year strong. Your year-end gift does make a big impact. All those different opportunities that we've mentioned that influence people here locally, through our community bridges, and regionally, through places like Hidden Acres, and then globally through our global partners. All sorts of opportunities. Pray about that. And like most people at Valley Church, ask how God might be able to enable you to give above and beyond your usual giving to be a spiritual influencer to help us finish this year strong. Third and last principle is this: be joyful when you suffer for Jesus. Now, look what happens here. Peter, he's pretty bold in what he says. We have to obey God, not you guys. And this gets them really ticked off, verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. That's pretty mad. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. Now, we know about Gamaliel from other sources outside the Bible. Lots is written about him. He was called Gamaliel the Elder by the people. He was the most respected rabbi at this time. His main period of influence was between the years 25 AD, the ministry of Jesus, and to 50 AD, into the time of the apostles. Huge impact. He was quoted everywhere. Everybody respected him. We're going to find out later in the book of Acts that he was actually a spiritual mentor to a Jewish man by the name of Saul, who is eventually going to become who we know, the Apostle Paul. So we'll get to that later, but he is the most highly respected rabbi, teacher in Israel. And he's got some advice to give to them. Here's what he said. He said to the men of Israel, be careful about what you are about to do to these men. Let's not get radical about this, all right? He says, some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all of his followers were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas the Galilean, not Judas Iscariot or any of the folks we know, rose up in the days of the census and attracted a following. He also perished, and his followers were scattered. So, guys, there have been other people like this before. And they rose up, they got killed, and eventually the movement died out. So in this present case, verse 38, I tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of human origin, it'll fail, just like all the others. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Wow, that was prophetic. You may even be found fighting against God. Very wise words here. I wish Gamaliel would have gone one step further, because he should have said everything he said there, and then he should have added this, which he didn't. And guys, we are the spiritual leaders of Israel. I think we should, in the meantime, search the scriptures ourselves and talk to these men and get to know their stories and listen to what they have to say and search the scriptures. Because if by chance somehow they're right and Jesus really was raised from the dead, then we're wrong. And we need to turn and believe in him. But he didn't go there. In fact, as far as we know, he never went there. Ironically, Gamaliel will have a son, has a son, whose name was Yeshua. We would say Jesus. He had a son named Jesus. And Jesus, that Jesus, became the high priest from the year 63 to 65 AD. So Gamaliel even had a son named Jesus. But as far as we know, he never crossed that line to believe in the Messiah named Jesus. I wish he would have gone to that next step. So Gamaliel does something good here. He kept them from killing the apostles, but his reasoning also kept him from trusting in Jesus. It says here they were persuaded by him, and after they called in the apostles and had them flogged. Wow, that's serious. I mean, this was not a light punishment. Flogging, I mean, there's 39 lashes with the flogging instrument. It's very, very painful. It cuts, it rips tissue. A third of them are done on the front of the body, and then two-thirds of the 39 are done on the back of the body. So this is extremely, excruciatingly painful. They had them flogged, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and release them. So guys, sometimes it will cost you. People will reject you. People may even violently oppose you, though that's pretty rare in our case. But what's most amazing about this, and this is why this is the unstoppable movement of God, is the reaction, guys, of the apostles to this flogging, this intimidation, this persecution. Verse 41. Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name. They actually were happy and joyful. They said, guys, we got wounded in battle. We're in a real battle. And we got wounded. It was hard. But guys, it's for the best cause there is. Sometimes we're going to get wounded. But when that day happens, when those hurtful things happen, we can find joy in that. We're like Purple Heart, wounded in battle. And we can rejoice that God is pleased and that we've had the honor of serving the greatest cause there is. And look at verse 42, how this passage ends. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They were unstoppable. You just couldn't stop them. If you're going to be a spiritual influencer in 2021, be brave when you face challenges, be bold when you have opportunities, and be joyful when you suffer for Jesus. One author writes about all the apostles. We know from good tradition the rest of their stories. And this author writes, they had no building in which to meet. They had no governmental protection. In fact, they had the opposite. They had no guarantee of privacy. They had no freedom of speech, little money. Many of them were jobless. Never would they be able to be employed again because of opposition. They lived without the hope of a full family and a full living to see the last of their days. No closet full of clothes, no education, not even a complete Bible yet. And yet not one of them died defeated. You want to know how each of them died? Listen to this list of the greater lights of the apostles. Matthew suffered martyrdom, having been slain by the sword. Mark, another one close to the apostles, expired in Alexandria after being dragged through the streets of the city. Luke was hanged on a large olive tree in Greece. John was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil, lived his last days with his body scarred, banished on an island. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. James was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the younger was thrown from a high pinnacle and beaten to death with a club. Philip was hanged. Bartholomew was scourged, beaten, and died. Andrew was bound to a cross and preached at the top of his voice to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance. Jude was killed by arrows shot into his body by executioners. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death at Salonica. And Paul was tortured and beheaded in Rome. And on it goes. And yet they conquered. And their movement lives to this day. They were unstoppable. Father, right now we just pray that you would flood our hearts with the bravery, the boldness, the joy of these apostles. I pray for one who's never crossed that line of faith that they would be struck by this incredible movement and just say, I want to be a part of that. I want to trust in Jesus today. And for all of us who are followers of Jesus, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be apathetic. Help us to be not reluctant avoiders or guilty interrupters. Help us to be joyful, spirit-filled, amazing spiritual influencers in 2021. And help us to pray for and look for opportunities. And when you bring them, Lord, help us to walk straight into those with love and kindness and courage and your word, not ours. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Happy New Year.